Precious, loving Father, we come and bend the knee this morning looking for your word, that the Holy Spirit may speak through your servant, moving our hearts and everyone for salvation. And Father, in your hands we commend ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is entitled, A Message to the Church of the Laodiceans. I hope this message is not for you, because there are two groups today in the time of the Laodicean. If you are Laodicean, you are in a lost condition. So there are two groups, and I'm inviting you to look at these two groups. In Revelation 12, verse 17. And this is what the Word of God says in Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the women and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So we know the dragon is the devil. And he went to make war with whom? With the remnant of the woman. So who is the woman? The church. But he is not going to war with the church. With the majority of the church, he's not going to fight. He's only going to fight with the few. You remember one of the quotations in the previous sermon of Pastor Vaipulo, that only few will be saved. So he's talking about the remnant. So there are two groups today, the Laodicean church and the remnant. So don't worry, I'm not going to preach to the remnant. You are saved. Now I'm going to appeal to the Laodiceans. Now, if you look in the paper, Revelation 3:14. Let's go open on the third chapter of the Bible, verse 14. And I have it all on my notes, if you want to follow the notes. But if you want to open the scripture, look in the scripture. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who is talking here? Who is the true witness? Jesus Christ, you're right. And it says, the beginning of the creation of God. So God created Jesus? Some people quote this to say that Jesus created. But when it says the beginning, now I look in the Hebrew for that word beginning, and it means it's the word arche, and it means principality, the chief. He is the chief of the creation. That's what it means. The corner, the first. Now, who bring us a message in Revelation 3:22? It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said into the churches. So the Holy Spirit, if you look at the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, it ends every message with the words, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said into the churches. So who's speaking to the churches? The Holy Spirit. Now, why do I know? I'm going to tell you this, because at the beginning of every message, it says, and write this to the angel of. Who is the angel of? The one that you need to put an ear to hear what he says. So that angel represents the Holy Spirit. Now, it mentions in Revelation that there are seven spirits. Why seven spirits? It's because there are seven churches, and every church get the spirit. And if you think that the message is going at the same time for the seven churches, is not the Holy Spirit omnipresent? Absolutely. It makes sense. We have one spirit. It can be in many places. Seven churches at the same time if he wishes. Because he talks to you and me different things at the same time. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, now, just to corroborate that Jesus is not the beginning of the creation of God. God didn't create him, but he is the chief. I have a second witness. Colossians 1:17. It says, and he is before all things. Jesus said before of how many things? All things. So he was before anything has been created. And by him all things consist. So everything depends on the existence of the existence of everything depends on Jesus Christ. And the word here before in the Greek is pro. Pro means before. A primary preposition for, above, ago, before, over. In Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created. So, if all things created are by him, that excludes Jesus Christ from being created. Because he created all things. All things is 100%. No, 99. 100%. That things that are in heaven and things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Is he created angels? Absolutely. He created Moses, Elijah, and Enoch that are in heaven? Absolutely. Revelations 3:15-16 says, I know thy works. It's talking about the church of Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, being a lukewarm, is that a saving state or a lost state? Absolutely lost. So these people are playing church. They are trying to please a certain lifestyle. Call it incomplete. Some are 50%, some are 99.99%, but it's still lost. It's still warm, lukewarm. And Revelation 3:17. Jerry, can you sit somewhere else, so we don't get distracted? Thank you. It says, Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee, and this is the counsel. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried on the fire. Think about it. We have to buy something that is tried on the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyes of that thou mayest see. So there are three things that we need to do. What are they? First, we got to buy what? Gold, try on the fire. Secondly, we need to be clothed with white raiment. And third, we need to do something with the eyes. Anointed with eyes of. So let's look into that. Gold, try on the fire. 1 Peter 1:7. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. So, what is tried by fire that we need to buy? What is the goal? Faith and love. The faith. Faith has to be tried every day. Are you tried every day? Absolutely. Are you getting victorious? Because you went through fire. And it will get to the point that fire will not burn at all. Remember the three Hebrew men? Their faith sustaining through the furnace or the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what about white raiment? What does white raiment represent? Revelation 19:7-8. And his wife was made herself ready. Who is the wife of Jesus? The church. The remnant church. And to her was granted that she should arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. Actually, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ clothing the saints. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. So jewels is part of the raiment. And you know the jewels are part of its character. Because the Bible says, and I forgive me for not quoting it, where it is, but God will sit and polish his jewels. Now, let's talk about anointing the eyes. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. When the Laodiceans needs eyes up because they are blind, what is that blindness? What the heck? It's unbelief. It's misunderstanding. They don't have a clue. Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You need the Holy Spirit. What does represent? What is the representation of the Holy Spirit in terms of anointing? It's the oil. So we need the oil to open our spiritual eyes, to put aside the curtain of unbelief and confusion. So, Acts 10:38, it mentions also the anointing, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, Jesus was divine. How come he needed the Holy Spirit? Because he was the Son of Man. He was in the human form. He was not allowed. In order to give me an example, what I need to do, he needed to be human. And he was fully human. And veil his divinity on one side. So he needed the Holy Spirit to succeed in this earth, like you and me. And you and I. So why he was anointed? So he went about doing good and healing all the world oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if we get the Holy Spirit, we get the fullness of the Godhead. So you wanna make sure that your prayers are so powerful that God can heal the sick? Get anointed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a story in the Bible about a blind man. In John 9, verse 1, and in different texts I'm going to take from John 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Verse 6. "When he," Jesus, "had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. "He went his way therefore, and washed and came seeing. Therefore," said they. Okay, let me ask you a question here. Do you see the Holy Spirit in this? Where? What about the pool of Siloam, the water? The Holy Spirit is on the water too. Okay. "Therefore," said they, this is the people that are talking, the neighbors and acquaintances, according to verse 8. "And to him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anoint my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." When did Jesus, through the prophet, ask somebody else to go and dip on the Jordan River? Naaman. Yeah, he has to dip 7 times. God has a very interesting way of healing. So whatever the Lord says, even if we don't understand, we should do that. If you don't obey the instructions, you don't receive the blessing. Absolutely. If God said this way, I don't understand, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes. Now, Revelation 3:19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." You want the love of God? You want the love of God upon you? Nobody says amen? Amen? So, get ready, because the Lord is going to rebuke you and chasten. But as you're chasing and it hurts, praise the Lord, because it's for our good. Okay? So be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now let's talk about repentance. Mark 1:4. "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." So what does baptism include into it? Repentance. And as we repent, we are washed away from our sins. Acts 5:31. "Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Can we repent of our own? Repentance is a gift. It has to be by the power of God. I cannot repent myself. Now, if you are praying for relatives and friends that are not of our faith, they reject the truth, ask the Lord to give them the will and the doing, and put in their heart repentance, because it is not in the natural man. We cannot repent. Acts 20:21. "Testify both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." This is part of the gospel. We need to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 2:4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Tell me, what is the name of the Holy Spirit in this text? It's the goodness of God that lead us to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. "For godly sorrow working repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. If you see the word godly, has the word godly. So repentance and sorrow only comes from God. If we don't feel sorrow, we don't feel sorry, ask the Lord for those feelings. Looking into changing our habits, lifestyle, and I asked the Lord, Lord, I need to change this lifestyle. And I don't do it anymore, but I still like it. So I had to ask the Lord for hate. Lord, put sorrow, put hate on something that the flesh likes, because I don't have it. And I know that I like it is because self is alive. So I had to ask the Lord to put self on the cross. Okay. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count lackness, but is long suffering toward us, to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So repentance and sorrow is available. God wants to give us in his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Now, the Lord ended the message to the Laodiceans with a call, and this is his call. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him, and he with me. What do we need to do? What do we need to do this morning? Open the door. It's a willful act. So we ask the Lord that his promise, we can claim his promise in Philippians 2:13, that he will put in our hearts the will and the doing according to his good pleasure. Lord, take my hand, that this hand will grab the knob of the door of my heart and open it. Lord, please do that. And he will do that. And any time that we feel weak on something, let's fall on our knees. It says, Lord, I'm weak. I need what you promised, the will and the doing. I had the will to get up in the morning, but I don't get up because I'm not having the doing. Can you help me, please? Get this. Since I asked the Lord to wake me up in the morning to have worship, ever since, the Lord wakes me up. I don't need the clock. Can you believe? I woke up and it's 4 or 5, whatever the Lord chooses to wake me up. And I feel right awake. I cannot go back to bed. I won't fall asleep. The Lord called me at that time and I go open the scriptures. Now, I have to be careful. And I have to be careful, and I don't have it to show you, but I have to be careful with my phone, because the temptation is to know who texts me or who did some overnight. And once I open that up, it my concentration and my attention is gone. So I had to fight with that every morning. Anyway. Hide it. Yeah. Maybe I tell my wife to hide it for me. Yeah. And now, you think that the message of the Laodiceans is only found on the book of Revelation, on the chapter 3? Paul, in the book of Colossians, wrote concerning not only the Colossians, but the Laodiceans, because they have something, a problem similar in nature. And this was a problem within the church. Now, it's talking about what's happening in the church, not individually, like in Revelation. And it says here, this is the problem. Colossians 2:1 and verse 8. It says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy You know theology, higher criticism, new Bibles, and vain deceit. Vain is sinful. Vain deceit. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, emerging church, hypnosis, you mentioned all this. That after the traditions of men, be careful with the tradition of men, you know. After the rudiments of the world, oh, we need to bring drums to keep the children in our church, and not after Christ. We have to preach Christ. What is the solution for the drums? Christ. What is the solution for the rudiments of this world? Christ. So forth. Okay. Let's talk about philosophy. Acts 20, 29 to 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Oh, we need to keep the feast. We need to believe that the Godhead is only made out of two. Do we need to mention Jesus by his proper name, Yeshua HaMashiach? Nothing is wrong with that name, but just to bind you and make you issue of salvation is wrong. I have seen the devils running away in the name of Jesus Christ. God understand any language. Yes. So, vain deceit, 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. You know, one day, a group of people start passing papers about keeping the feast around here. And I said, oh, wait a minute. You need to ask permission. You need to talk to the elders. You need to talk to us. And I said, oh, but Pastor, we've been studying for 3 years. And I knew him. They were sitting in our pew. I said, 3 years? Why is it that I didn't know you were studying that for 3 years? Oh, well, they were meeting in my home. Oh, privately. Oh, you see, who privately shall bring damnable heresies. So until they brainwash the people, then they were bold to come in the open. The tradition of men, Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Tradition of men. The law of Moses, all the rituals. The rudiment of this world, Hebrews 9:1. Then verily the first, and I put in brackets, covenant or testament, had also ordinances of divine service and of the worldly sanctuary. So, should we follow the traditions of men on the rituals of this worldly sanctuary? The worldly sanctuary is over. It finished at the cross, at the death of Christ. All his purpose finished there. Now, in Colossians 2:2, it says, that their hearts might be comforted, being nigh together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Paul has this concern because they were all distracted on philosophies and winds of doctrines. He says, no, let's come back to Christ. This is the focus. It says, to the full assurance of understanding and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What is that mystery? Paul wanted them to understand the mystery. What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are right. It's found in Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27. That's the previous text. It says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest on his saints. Why did God keep it as a mystery? Do you have any idea? Well, I'll tell you this. The devil thought that he was so smart that he was a smart God, but he didn't know what God has hidden on his sleeve. And God will show us later. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan knew that the wages of sin is death. There is no way to escape. He thought that they have him. But no, he didn't know that God the Father and the Son has made plans for the redemption even before the world was. And one of that was a mystery that even men in sin could not follow God and love him. God will put Jesus and offer Jesus in our hearts. So Jesus is the will and the doing that God will give us under the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan didn't know that. Nobody can outsmart God. So he was a loser from the beginning. So Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So I probably finished reading this. Verse 27 of Colossians 1. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, even the Laodiceans, those who are not of the remnant, they are par in the consequences with those of the Gentiles. So they also don't understand what is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is salvation. If you want to know what is to be saved, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If somebody come and ask you, are you saved, my brother? Are you saved, my sister? Of course, we cannot say we are saved. But I can guarantee that Christ is in me because I talked to him this morning. And I'm walking with him. And I go to the market with him. And I'm not going to buy the things that hurt my body. And see? Yeah. Being saved. And talking about being saved, and I'm going to read again. That text I had it today in Sabbath school. It's found in Exodus, I think it's 34. When Moses asked God, he says, God, how do we know that we are under your grace? I'm paraphrasing. Is it not that you walk with us? That is salvation. That is grace, walking, the Lord walking with us. Now, and continuing Colossians 2:4, it says, and this I said, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So he's warning us. And now he mentioned three, four things that we need to have. Colossians 2:5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. This is not that he flew in the spirit and came to be with the church. It means the mind. The spirit means also the mind. Not only the spiritual condition of the Holy Spirit, or God is a spirit, and the angels are spirit, but also means the mind. So he says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So we need to be working, increasing our faith. Faith come by the hearing, and the hearing by the... And it has to be a daily work. First thing in the day. Colossians 2:6, and continue, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in it. So if Christ in you, the hope of glory, now we have to work in it. In what? In all that he says we need to do. And Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We have to be thankful. Have a thankful attitude for all and all the time. I got a flat tire. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Keep that attitude. Christ in you. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if we have Christ in us, who else is in us? The fullness that is in Jesus Christ, which is the Father and the Holy Spirit. All three. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, if we are complete, do we need anything else? No. We are complete. And complete means we are safe. We have his fullness of his character. Self is alive. I mean, self is dead. Now Christ lives in me. That's all. That's all we need. Salvation, the gospel, is so simple. It says, so what Christ in you, the hope of glory, means. Let's see what that means for us. Colossians 2:11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So we have to be circumcised in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what does it mean, circumcision, for us today? Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. This self at the cross with Christ. That means circumcision. Now we need to be buried and resurrected. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism. So do we bury the alive or the dead? The living or the dead? It has to be the dead. After we are crucified with Christ, that old man needs to be buried. That's the symbol of baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. So the old man is dead, buried, and now Christ living in you is the new man. So what is the name of the new man? Harold Cortez? It's Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in me. And it says, this is through the faith of the operation of God. Now, tell me, what is the operation of God? Let's look into it. Psalms 28:5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, not the operation of his hands. So the work of the Lord is the operation of his hands. Isaiah 5:12. And I'm going to read the last part. But they regard not the works of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. So the work of the Lord are the operation of his hands. Now, let's identify the hands of the Lord that do the operation. Right? Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. So, who is the hand of God? The spirit of the Lord. And it mentioned also in Ezekiel 3:14. So the spirit lift me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit. So Ezekiel didn't want to go, but the Holy Spirit came and took him and lifted him up against his will. It was the Holy Spirit, the hand of God. And you can also find that in Ezekiel 8. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 3. And it came to pass on the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. So the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. All right? Now, verse 3. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my head. So Ezekiel had long hair, right? Locks of his hair. And the Spirit lift me up between the earth and heaven. So who lifted him up? The hand of the Lord, which is the Spirit of God. So anytime that you find the operation of God is the work of his hands, and you see the work of the hand is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to mention this. If you do word study, look who is the arm of God. Now we know the hand. If you would like to look who is the arm of God, do that research. Now, Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, it's a lost condition, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. This is grace. When we were dead in sin, Jesus came and died for us. It's the same. Now, there was a problem in the Church of Laodicea, and it was a winnow doctrine. Specifically, that was the feast keeping. And so, Paul addressed this in the verse 14 of Colossians 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So, what was nailed to his cross? The handwriting of ordinances. Let's find out what are the handwriting of ordinances. Deuteronomy 31:26. Take this book of the law and put it on the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a what? A witness against thee. There was something against us in it. And it's the book of the law. Give me the five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Other books that Moses wrote and put in the side of the ark. What was put inside the ark? What God wrote with his own finger. And what men wrote, it was on the side of the ark. So this is a handwriting. It's men's handwriting. Now, Hebrews 7:12-19. So if something was nailed to the cross, there was a big change. And this is the change. Hebrews 7:12-19. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. What law was changed here? The Ten Commandments? No. It's the law of the priesthood. He said it right there. The law of the priesthood being changed. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaining to another tribe, of whom no man gave attendance at the altar. It's talking about Jesus that came from Judah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. That means the lineage of Aaron. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arise another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments. So it was not according to the book of the law, because it's the book of the law appointed only to the descendants of Aaron to be priests. So that ended. But after the power of an endless life. Verse 17, For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the command going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. So something that it wasn't useful anymore, it didn't profit it, it didn't give life, didn't guarantee eternal life, was nailed to the cross. All the sacrifices of the lambs and rituals and so forth. Because the true Lamb came in and died for us. Everything appointed to Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope. Who is the hope? Jesus Christ, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 9:1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Remember, worldly. Now we look into the heavenly sanctuary where Jesus went to. Now you think that Laodicea and Colossians had the same problem? You think that any other church had a problem? Actually, all those churches had a problem, because it's mentioned also in the church of Galatians. They had the same problem. And it says, it records here in Galatians 4, verse 4, 5, 9, and 11. But when the fullness of the time was come, what time? God sent for his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So, meaning that she was under the old covenant. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, meaning entering into the new dispensation, the New Testament. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye against to the weak and beggarly elements, whereinto ye desire again to be in bondage? So, same problem. Why do you want to keep the feast? What do you want to continue circumcising? What do you continue doing the Nazarene rites and so forth? Celebrating the ritual and so forth. Verse 10. And ye observe days and months and times and years. All the feasts are there. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. If you keep the feast, I waste my time. That's what he says. Now, Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he may show off them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, what are the principalities and powers that he spoiled as his death? Who was judged? Satan and his angels. They were judged, and you know what? They didn't find place themselves in heaven anymore. They were not allowed to come anymore. Now, what is the content of the handwritings of ordinances? Colossians 2:16. No man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. It's not talking about what you eat on your table. It's talking about the offerings, meat and drink offerings that they brought to the temple, or in respect of a holy day. Remember, there is a difference between holiday and holy day. The Sabbath is holy day, but holiday, it's a feast. There's a difference. It says, in respect of a holy day, or on the new moon, or on the Sabbath days. Colossians 2:17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you. Now Paul starts warning. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Of your reward in a voluntary humility and of worship of angels, intruding in those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. In other words, if we don't have any Bible guidance into something, don't get into it. Absolutely. In verse 19, and not holding the head, and not holding the head, which is Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and nigh together, increased with the increase of God. Verse 20. Herefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as thou living in the world, are yet subject to ordinances? He's asking a question, you know. If you are dead in Christ, why are you going back to rely on sacrifices? It makes no sense. Or Christ or the sacrifices. If you are in the sacrifices, you are under the law, you are lost. Colossians 2:21. And he explains this: touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So I ask the Lord, Lord, I understand, touch not. They were forbidden to touch the leper, to touch the dead, or there were some other things. And then, taste not. I couldn't figure that out. Taste not. Because we are accused. Oh, you are teaching to be vegetarians, not to eat pork, and not to this, that. You see, you are condemned. Taste not. So, it's over. But think about it. The Nazarites is part of the law. They were forbidden of drinking grape juice. Yeah, or cutting the hair. Taste not. Handle not. Handle unclean animals. You shouldn't touch the, they shouldn't touch the, this or that, and so forth. Now, verse 22. Which all are to perish with the using. Verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom, a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, nor in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, Paul gave us a counsel this morning. It's in, to the church of Laodicea. And I tell you this, I'm not preaching to you because you are saints. But Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried on the fire. And we understand that it's faith and love. That thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou may be clothed. When do you be in the morning? Let's see, what do you do before getting clothes on? You probably jump in the shower. So you need to be cleansed. Now we need to be cleansed spiritually by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once we are cleansed, he clothed us with his robe of righteousness. Remember, Adam and Eve, that robe of righteousness was symbolized and the robe of light that they lost. Now, and he says, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eyes of, without mayest see. What is the eyes of? The Holy Spirit. We need to open the scriptures always with prayer, with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us, because he was given us for that he will he will guide us in righteousness. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Yes. So, now, Paul gave us a warning. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What is the secret of salvation? What is the secret we have learned today? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very simple. What we with him, or what in him? Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, all we need is Jesus. He is the head. Now the Lord is making a call, and I'm going to ask the congregation to stand up so we can hear the call of God, receive the promises and assurance of his love. He says in Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear his voice and open the door, will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. How many of you hear the knock at the door? Praise God. How many of you will ask, Lord, give me the will to open the door? Amen. Praise the Lord. And Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. And God give us the assurance of his love, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If you would like to be loved by God, and he will guide you through the rebuking and the chasing, because he suffers too along with us. If you are willing to do that, would you like to kneel with me and ask the Lord a blessing? Our gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your message, for your rebuke, your chastening. Thank you, Lord, because you care for our salvation. If, gracious Father, I just ask you to take us by the hand and the walk of sanctification to get the fullness of Jesus Christ in our heart and the fullness of his character, which is yours, reflecting in that. As when that character will reflect it in your children, you will come. Please bless us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.